This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
For my Anthony's, my son's age, and they had the same, curriculum. That's the word I was looking for. The same curriculum. It's called the Abeka system. So we moved up and started a family up here. My wife was pregnant with my daughter at that time. That was in 90, 91, something like that. And we started attending the same church, Morningside Church in Port St. Lucie, at the same time. So he went to school there. We went to church there. And I became involved with the music program, a lot of great people. And it was really, it was a very cool church, very, very, very good people that belonged there. Okay. There was a few sinners mixed in among us, but it was a good church. And that's where we went. That's where we went for a long time.
And that's where you got born again, or?
Yes, that's where I got born again, 1992, October.
After you finally heard what that pastor had said.
Yep.
All right, so let's get into, what do you want to talk about? Do you want to talk about your psalm spinner? You want to talk about the Sermon on the Mount? What would you like to talk about?
Either one. The first, let me talk about my missionary work, our missionary work, my wife and me. And her name is Anne. And before we go any further, she says hi.
Okay, so this is not the wife who died.
No. No, that would be a little weird. Okay.
I didn't know.
Yeah, I should have clarified. I apologize. No, my first wife passed in 2007. Great lady. Went 10 years, just losing her, I had a 14-year-old daughter to bring up and a son who was 18 or no, he was older than that. He was about 20 by that time. But anyway, he was out of the house. I decided that it was time to retire and just concentrate on bringing my daughter up. So I was a traveler and I retired from one business. I was a manager of retail store and just went on from there and just spent it with my daughter and did a lot of traveling. And that's when I first went with our church. Actually, I went with our pastor, Pastor Mark Herrera, to find an orphanage that we were looking to support. High Point Church
where was the orphanage?
The orphanage wound up to be in Kitale, Kenya. It's about 200-300 miles north that way. Northwest of Nairobi. I was pointing. Pointing doesn't work too well on a radio thing. Yeah. when it came down to it, we went over there, we established it, there was a lot more details than that, but we finally found it over there. And I became involved, and because I'm a cook, always have been, besides music, food is my other passion, one of my other passions. And then in 2017, I received a call from the pastor from that orphanage and said, Don, remember those kids that you were making breakfast for and lunch for and cooking stuff in, 30, 40-gallon pots because you were feeding 300, 400 kids every morning and every afternoon? Remember those kids? I said, sure, I do. And he says, well, now they're 17 and 18 years old, and they have to leave the orphanage. Apparently, when a kid that's 18, boy or girl, finishes their Form 4, it's called Form 4, it would be our senior year. When you finish that, you have to leave, okay? Some of them, they will go on to college if they get a scholarship. But scholarships over there are completely different than what they are over here. They cover your admission into a school. They don't cover books. They don't cover classes. They don't cover accommodations, nothing. So you can get there. But if you're an orphan, you're kind of like the lowest of the possible low that you can get. And nobody watches out for these kids. They do in the United States. However, third world countries, they don't have that luxury. But going ahead, he said, you remember those kids? He said, well, they're going to leave and they don't know how to cook for themselves. So they're institutionalized, of course, 100, 200, 300 kids from different, you know, different orphanages. And what they get fed is, like I said before, doled out from a 40, 50-gallon pot, okay? Healthy, not necessarily tasty, but it fills their belly. It's got nutrition, and it gets them till their next meal. And that's the whole purpose of it. But he said, you got to come and teach these kids how to cook. Okay, Lord, what am I supposed to do? Sit down and write a book. So I got together with my wife, and based on the orphans living in Katali, we put together a nice cookbook. Simple, basic, hygiene, sanitation, knife skills, how to cook eggs, how to cook rice, how to cook vegetables, how to break down a chicken. Simple, simple stuff, okay, that will get them through. And how to go grocery shopping. You know, if they're 18 years old and they might have a job that they're working, but they don't have a whole bunch of money. So how are you going to budget your money? Okay, can't run down to McDonald's and get a couple of quarter pounders every day. So we put that together and went over there and taught it. Stayed over there for 3 or 4 weeks and taught the first class. I have to say, it was an experience. We've got pictures, and if you can go on to our Facebook or our website. Am I allowed to say the name of the website?
Oh, I'd love that, yeah.
Okay. It's called Loaves and Fishes Global, all one long phrase. Loaves and Fishes Global, okay?
Loaves and Fishes Global, what.com?
.com, yeah, just it's the website, okay?
Okay.
So, yeah, and you'll go there, you'll see pictures of the kids, you'll see, you know, a lot of the dishes that we made and stuff like that. But the kicker was, the purpose God had us do was to go over there and teach the kids how to cook. Well, we accomplished that in a little less than 2 weeks. So it's not an extensive 4-year course, Culinary Institute stuff. It's just basics, but it gets them by, okay? But because of third world countries, we spent 20 or 30% of the book on hygiene and sanitation, excuse me. And, which is obviously pretty huge over there. Okay. And then simple dishes that they were used to cooking. Okay. We're not teaching them to cook coco van, but we are teaching them to cook chapati and ugali and sukuma wiki and different things like that. And they're familiar with that, but now, instead of cooking it out of a 40, 50-gallon pot with just the bare essentials, we taught them seasonings. We taught them garnishes. We taught them different things that could liven up. So you eat with your eye and then with your mouth. You enjoy food with your nose, okay? So we gave them appreciation for eating, okay? Not just growing up in an orphanage, you know, stuffing food down your mouth, okay? So we came out of that, like, really blessed ourselves. And I asked Richard, the head of the orphanage, I said, do me a favor. I said, you got a lot of contacts in the business world, local businesses. I said, this coming Sunday, the kids are done with the course. I want them to cook a buffet dinner for your guests. I don't care how many you bring. Just tell me how many are going to be there, and I'll tell the students this is what we're going to do. My wife and I will not get involved with the actual cooking. We'll just sort of be stupidvisors. That's what my father used to call them, stupidvisors. Actually, supervisors, yeah.
I like
okay.
That.
All right. So that's what my friend did. And there were bankers, there was hotel owners, there was restaurant owners, there was warehouse owners, there was people of industry, let's put it that way. Sunday afternoon, they started walking in, wives, kids, they didn't bring their dog, but everybody else was there, and they started eating, and it was a kind of a big buffet thing. And I had the students stand by a particular dish that they made, and they would serve the guests. And just a little backtrack to tell you the mindset of people over there. It's like you have rich people, and then you have poor people. And then you go down about 4 more flights, and that's where you're going to find the orphans. They don't even make it up to street level, okay? They have no provenance. Who's your mother? Who's your father? I don't have any. Get out of here. Go away. You're worthless. You're less than worthless, okay? Okay. And that's what people, and this isn't a cynical, sinful thing. This is how they're brought up. This is their true mindset. Okay. And that's what orphans have to contend with. So, but one of the bankers walked up and I was privy to the conversation and he looked at her and the dish was Nyoma Choma, which is it's a roasted meat. Okay. Pretty good, but it's a lot of spices. And, he looked at Lucinda, I think her name was, and he says, "Who cooked this?" And she said, "I did, sir." And he said, no, really, who cooked this?" And she said, "I did, sir." And he said, "Those Muzungi over there, did they help you?" Muzungi is white people. He was pointing at me. He said, "That Muzungi over here, did he help you?" "No, sir, he did not. That's Papa Don." Okay. He said, "I did it all myself." This guy owned a restaurant. He makes the same dish at his restaurant. This orphan girl made a dish, the same dish, better than the one he serves in a restaurant.
Wow.
At the end, we're praying for the kids. We're encouraging the kids. We passed out certificates, graduated loaves and fishes, and had their name big, shiny with stars and glitter and stuff like that. And Ann and I signed it. And I asked Richard, I said, "Do me a favor, sir." I said, "Ask your friends to go up after we're done praying to encourage the kids and just give them some, you know, guidelines and something. Just say something nice, okay?" Each one of them, Mr. Palmer, walked up there and said, "This is my name. When you finish your Form 4, take that piece of paper that you're holding in your hand. Come into my office. You now have a job." All right. So that's what me and my wife do. COVID came and went. But after that trip, it came down to the fact that we really got tired out coming back. I'm going to be 78. My wife just turned 72, 73. Okay. Sorry, honey. I told everybody. But it came down to the fact that took its toll on us. And we realized that, you know, we'd have to do something else. We can't go back every 6 months and teach the next graduating class of 18-year-olds or, you know, how to cook again. So we came up with another book, and it's actually a Train the Trainer.
And tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer. And this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
Jesus loves me, this I know.
Start Smart Learning Center offers a fun, nurturing, faith-based space for your child to grow and succeed. We are now enrolling children ages 1 to 5 years old. Visit our website at startsmartlc.org or call us at 772-281-4121 to give your child the head start they deserve.